All right. Now, traditionally, when you get to the end of the speech, there also has to be a kind of response, a conclusion, saying what happened. And now we find it in verse 37. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? Look what we've done. We admit it. Now what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to him." End of sermon. So, what shall we do? Course of action: repent, be baptized, receive, repent, accept Jesus Christ, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, that's the end of the sermon. And then Luke also records a bit more. Peter testified with many other words, as I said before, and exhorted them. Save yourselves. Does your translation say save yourselves? Sorry, that's not a very good translation. It's in the Greek, it's a future, it's a passive. Let yourselves be saved. We can't save ourselves. It is God who saves us. So let yourselves be saved. I thought of it yesterday because I was riding along and I saw one of these posters for the election that's got the Christian Democrats saying, "Save Australia" or "Save our nation." No, we can't save our nation. Only God can do that, especially the mess that we're in. Okay. Let yourselves be saved from this crooked generation. And then you have an account about how many people were saved that day. How many? 3,000 souls. Right. Don't ask where they got all the water from to baptize 3,000 people. And was it by immersion? Don't ask all those questions. Doesn't matter. This is an amazing story, and have I still got 5 minutes? Right. I'm going to pick up three things. The first thing, and this is I'm trying to pick out what's important for us from this speech. The first thing is that Peter grounds the proclamation both in the word of the prophets, and in the situation of the hearers, Jews in Jerusalem. And he connects them straight into this proclamation. He doesn't preach about Jesus crucified. He preaches Christ crucified. Not just about that. He preaches as a proclamation. You crucified him. God raised him. Now what do? You believe. You be baptized. So he connects this word right into their situation there in Jerusalem. And good missionary proclamation always does that. All good proclamation does that. Where are these people in their life, in their situation? What's going on? And then you ground that proclamation in the Word of God. That's really, really important. Now, I thought, how can I illustrate that? And only came to me this morning. Did any of you read this? This is from The Australian. This is a wonderful story about a man on a mission. This is a Lutheran story. No, it's not. It's a story about, a lot of these people who use the Pitjin Jada translation are Lutherans, and Paul Eckert was originally Lutheran. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a Christian story, which is even better. It's better to be Christian than Lutheran, isn't it? Well, it is. Luther said, don't call them Lutherans. Who is Luther? Maggot fodder. Don't call them after me. Let them be called Christians, he said. So this wonderful story that appeared in the Australian magazine here, when I read it, I was absolutely struck by the power of the word. Saved, it's called Saved by a Translation, which is playing on the, there was a movie called Lost in Translation. And it says, no, Saved in Translation. And it's showing what a wonderful thing the translation of the scriptures into the Pitjin Jada language, what that's actually doing. Because it could actually save the language. And it's doing a lot to help the communities bring them together. And it's a very positive story about the word, which you don't always get in the Australian. They like to stick the boots into the Christian church. And here's a woman holding the Pitjin Jada Bible, standing by a church holding the Bible. The Bible means so much to those people. Like when we go up for the bush course with the pastors and Aboriginal church workers, they've only got one book, but they pore over the book. And that's really, and the way they struggle to get the scriptures into the language in a way that the people can understand it. And that's a huge challenge. There's some wonderful examples of how they've done that. Now, I've got to watch the time. That was the first point. So this emphasizes people must hear the word in their own language and in their own situation. And we've got to do a better job of that. Right? I think they're doing a terrific job among those Aboriginal people up there of bringing the scriptures in their language. Now, how can we speak our language to our people? That's a big challenge. The second thing is that the proclamation is ultimately about Christ, the Savior from sin. Now, there's a story here about a young Aboriginal woman who was, this is from Noel Pearson up at Hope Vale. A devout young Aboriginal woman was sent to the mission outskirts to convert the traditional elders camped there, and she caused some consternation when she explained that Christ had been crucified for their sins. This old woman interrupted the younger. So there's another woman there, an older woman. This old woman interrupted the young woman, recalls Pearson, and said, "Just a minute, young lady. I'm completely innocent in relation to the killing of Jesus." Pearson chuckles. She rejected the theological proposition, namely, that Jesus died for our sins. But this is the thing that old people who receive the gospel must go through this experience of conversion where they repent of their sins and say, yes, well, it was my sins that crucified. It wasn't the Jews, it wasn't the Romans, it was my sins. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? The old song says, yes. We weren't there, but we were, because he was dying for us. And this is so interesting that the young woman, as a Christian, knew this. Okay. The third thing is, that we are called to be witnesses of these things. It's not just Peter and the 11, but all those who hear the message. Just like that young Aboriginal woman. And you'll see this again and again in the history of the church. Like at the first baptisms, the big baptisms in New Guinea, when a community received baptism, they would put a bunch of spears, stick them in the ground, and they'd say, all right, who's picking up a spear? And that was an invitation to young people, the newly baptized, for young people to go and pick up a spear. That means leaving your village and going and being an evangelist in the next village. So with their conversion came the strong conviction that this is a message not only to be received, but to be handed on. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. So next time, we're going to look at chapter 8. You can read ahead, and we'll see that happening. So there's a number of stories in the first part of the Acts of the Apostles, and culminating in the great speech of Stephen in chapter 7, there's the story of the word in Jerusalem. And then after chapter 8, well, beginning at chapter 8, you have the Jerusalem, Judea, all Judea and Samaria. Now, there's not many stories about, well, no stories about Judea. Luke just skips over that, maybe because he didn't know the story, I don't know, but he doesn't tell any stories about that, all Judea, except to say that it happened. And then he focuses on one story or two stories in particular, one about the word of the Lord going to Samaria, the evangelization of the Samaritans, and then another story about the word of the Lord going to the ends of the earth, Philip and the Ethiopian. So we're going to look at those two stories next time. Go in peace, serve the Lord, and we'll close with a brief prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the word of life, the word of truth, the word about your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to receive the message, to be renewed by repentance, to grow in faith and be renewed in faith through the working of your Holy Spirit. And timid as we are, give us courage to witness for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.